This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director, Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. When you think of cities with a bunch of tech startups, your first thought probably is not Chicago.
I know you guys are on Silicon Valley.
We're in Silicon Valley as more tech elites.
There's Silicon Valley, the epicenter of the tech universe, right?
But the two people I'm talking to today say we probably shouldn't be so quick to write off the Windy City. Chicago is actually becoming its own hub for tech startups.
Obviously, Chicago is the biggest city in the center of the country, and there's a lot of money here, and there's a lot of expertise and companies and stuff. So it's here, and it's going to spread. There's going to be startups in all cities, everywhere. It's going to be great.
And they would know, they started a tech company in Chicago, EasyBot.
Yeah, EasyBot AI.
EasyBot AI.
Yeah.
There is, I think, a DJ out there that goes by EasyBot, so wouldn't want people to...
We don't want to confuse
them. Y'all didn't co-found that DJ. EasyBot AI makes e-commerce websites as attractive as possible to you, the user. And they do that using machine learning. So in other words, they use AI to learn when, where, and why a consumer is more likely to press buy on a website. And then they adapt that website accordingly.
Essentially means that you get a lot more bang for your buck when it comes to your traffic.
This is one of the co-founders, Griffin Cox.
So it's a pretty common name in Latin America, Aide, but...
Aide?
Yeah.
Okay. And this is co-founder Aide Marino.
Yeah, we do have a third co-founder, James Nowell. He's the machine learning guy. He's kind of introverted.
Griffin, Aide, and James started their company here in Chicago, and they say that there are lots of reasons why Chicago's startup scene is thriving. One of the reasons is space.
In Silicon Valley, there's kind of an over-concentration problem where if you have like the most venture capital in existence so concentrated, they're all looking for the same, you know, golden ticket sort of company, and they're all raking over all of the local companies in California, you know, there's just a lot more competition for finding that hidden gem. And so I think it's, you know, I guess in retrospect, sort of natural to start to broaden your search, to find companies that, you know, that you wouldn't have found if your scope was just California.
Yeah. Griffin and Aide are going to explain the many other reasons Chicago is turning into a new tech hub. But let's start with the story of their fledgling tech startup. First of all, Aide, how did y'all meet?
We have been friends since college.
Okay.
And Griffin actually had an idea, not really a startup idea, but like just an idea for something that was possible. This was early 2023, and everybody was very excited about AI. And he called me because my husband, James, is a AI person. So he invited me and James over for dinner because he wanted to ask James questions about machine learning. And he wanted to know, can we get data about user experiences and stream them and like train machine learning models to automatically figure out which ones work best instead of having people doing all that math and setting up experiments and doing all of that tedious stuff. So, yeah, we had a delicious dinner. Griffin is a great cook. And during the course of that conversation, we kind of were like, is this a great business idea? Should we do this?
So this is a startup that is among many startups in the city of Chicago. When I hear the word startup, I think of the West Coast. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's just be clear, like Silicon Valley is like the first thing that comes to mind. But your stance in some of our communication before this, Griffin, is that Chicago's startup scene is one to watch. And I wonder if you could just briefly talk about what is the startup culture in Chicago? What does it look like?
Yeah, so the startup culture in Chicago is newer than that of Silicon Valley. It started more recently. A lot more of the startups are focused on, say, agriculture or consumer packaged goods.
You know, manufacturing.
More Midwestern.
And a lot of consulting, too. Like, there is a lot of technical knowledge, but there's a lot of like LLC type businesses, not really C Corp.
Right. And then, of course, Chicago being a financial juggernaut still, you know, there's a lot of fintech startups, too. Mm. So, you know, startups of all flavors are here in Chicago. And I think part of the reason is that this is a great place to live. You know, we have amazing cultural offerings akin to, you know, that of New York or any other world class city.
Sure.
We don't have that price tag when it comes to living expenses, although they are, I guess, kind of going up everywhere.
It's still like that Silicon Valley price tag, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, there is that conception that all startups come from Silicon Valley, particularly if they have to do with apps or websites or robots or cars, right? But that just simply isn't true. I mean, you have the example of Rivian, for example, out of Illinois, the car manufacturer competing with Tesla. Though they're, I guess, no longer a startup. I think they're a bona fide big old company, you know, competing with the likes of Tesla. But, you know, Grubhub came out of Chicago, too. So many, I think, big names, apps that you would find on your phone. A lot of them came from Chicago, though, you know, honestly, most probably came from California. But
okay.
It's a growing scene.
Sure. Let's talk about the spaces and communities that have fostered the growth in this arena over the years. Griffin, can you talk about some of those organizations who make it their mission to support startups?
Sure. So we went through one of those programs through the University of Chicago's Booth School of Business, the New Venture Challenge. If you have at least one co-founder that's an active Booth student, then you can apply to participate in that program. I think they also have some other programs that don't have that similar sort of requirement. But what they aim to do is bring theory into practice, which is kind of weird for University of Chicago, but Booth is a little bit more practical than the college. And it's in some ways, and they may disagree, but it's kind of a business plan competition in a way, because you don't actually need customers or a product even built yet to participate or even win. We happen to have some of those things when we participated. But it was really an amazing experience for really getting our business plan in shape for a Series A sort of funding round in the future. So that's one example. Then there's also Techstars out of Chicago. Then there are VCs themselves who some of them offer non-financial resources.
And can you say, what is a VC again?
Oh, venture capitalist. Yeah.
I think the best venture capitalists were founders previously. They understand, you know, the
okay.
grind and the differences. They have capital. And we got pretty far with one before deciding it wasn't quite the right fit. But they also offer, you know, their own version of advice. Some of them have sort of their own teaching style as well. You sort of enroll in a class with them.
Some of them have companies that are in a specific industry. So for example, our system optimizes user experiences. If there's a VC somewhere that has a lot of e-commerce companies that are trying to sell stuff online and want to improve like their website so people will buy more stuff, then they might be like, well, we can offer you a bunch of customers because all of our portfolio companies need a product like this. So they'll fund the business so that it can grow and they'll offer a bunch of customers.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different models for how VCs decide to provide value.
Okay, so let's talk about that. I want to get into the funding because there's venture capitalists. I've heard this term angel investor.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about getting somebody to invest in your idea? I hear it's quite the dance.
Yeah, so we can tell you a bit about our journey.
Okay.
So my background and James's background and Griffin's background, you know, we're all middle class or below.
Okay.
And we don't have extremely wealthy family members or extremely well-connected family members necessarily. So initially, when we were trying to talk to angels, who are individuals who invest amounts like $50,000 to $100,000 in businesses,
mm-hmm.
when we started trying to talk to those people, they were like, well, why haven't you raised friends and family money, you know? And like, you know, they want to see.
It's so funny. I'm like, immediately I'm like, who?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are we calling in a family with $50,000?
So like, they wanted, basically, and it makes sense, right? Because they want to know that you care about your idea
sure.
enough that you're willing to take some money from people. So we were like, okay, we got to ask for some money, even if it's just a little bit of money. We do know a lot of people. I think we're all very social. So
okay.
we managed to call some of our friends and family. Surprisingly, some of them had $5,000 to $10,000 where they were like, okay, I'll try it out. And then with that kind of proof that we care about this business and are invested in it, we've been able to start talking to angel investors. The other thing that we tried to do is we tried to talk to VC firms, venture capital firms, that claim that they invest in early stage startups. So startups that don't have customers yet because they've just started.
Sure.
And they have a great idea and maybe they have a product. Whenever we talked to these firms, they were usually like, this is a bit early. Why don't you let us know when you have some customers? And it's like, well, okay, but also like we're not making any money. Like we got bills to pay. Like when will that be?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the dance. You just talk to a bunch of people. They all tell you different reasons why, like maybe not now, maybe later. Show us when you have one more thing than what you have right now. It's kind of slow. Now we're in that phase of just like talking to a lot of people, answering their questions, showing them where we're at. Yeah, just trying to push that little snowball of momentum as much as we can.
Yeah. Down the hill, up the hill, down the hill.
Yeah. I'm still up, but maybe down soon. Yeah.
Notably, investors don't really usually say no unless you are clearly not a fit for their business hypothesis or portfolio. So most of the time they say, talk to me in a few months, you know? And that's because if they do say no and then we are successful, it's doesn't look great for them, right? And so they just kind of keep delaying until you know, we have enough signs of traction that we fit their sort of risk appetite, if you will. Most of the time an investor says no or later, they don't actually give you the real reason. They give you a reason. And that's a lesson that we had to learn, because we would always kind of react to the reason and try to correct it before we got the problem, before
sure.
we got to the next VC, thinking they'd have the same problem. But really, it's honestly, it's kind of a vibe check at the pre-seed or seed stage. They have to believe in the people. A lot of them will say they invest in the people more so than the idea or the product.
I want to talk about this conversation that I've been hearing just about innovation in general, where, you know, we spend a lot of time, so much time on social media now. You know, I've been hearing different conversations on public radio that people aren't discovering and inventing new things as much anymore, which is partially because of social media and tech. On the other hand, a lot of the innovation that is getting discussed in the popular lexicon is tech-based. And I wonder how you think about invention and innovation as a human phenomenon and how technology might enhance that or hinder that, or what is that conversation in your spaces that you're in and in your mind? Griffin, why don't you start?
Wow, that is one hell of a question. when it comes to innovation, I think of education. So I went to a Chicago public high school. I went to Northside College Prep. Go Mustangs. And
boo, I went to Whitney Young.
And, you know, I think it really starts around the high school level. Maybe there are roots earlier on in an education, but for me, I just had access to like a lot of resources when it came to coding, when it came to tech. I didn't do very much with them at the time. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but they were available to me and I was exposed to them. And most of all, I was encouraged by really great teachers to be creative. My dad also was, he owned a painting company for 20 years in Chicago. And so that my entrepreneurial spirit, I think, really came from him. You know, so I think when you mix entrepreneurship with technology, you can get some really crazy sort of results that change the world.
I kind of interpreted your question from the other perspective. So this works out. I was thinking about the washing machine and the dishwasher. I recently got a dishwasher for the first time in my life, and it's amazing. I love it.
Correct.
But like the clothing washing machines, like, made it possible for the dual income household. Like it freed up a bunch of time for mothers in particular, but both parents, to not have to do such tedious chores. And there's a lot of things like that that are happening. Like, the standard of living is improving because of advancements in technology. And sure, like, tech and the internet and social media and AI, we're kind of just fumbling around with like the first versions of it. But I think that they all have the potential to make everything a lot easier, to save everybody a lot of time, and to help people decide what it is that they want to spend their time on and spend their time on that and not spend time doing other things. Like, I don't like paying bills or just tedious like maintenance things.
Writing checks.
So yeah, writing checks, paying bills. Like I love it if AI would do that for me. So yeah.
There are two important things to I think call out too though that though technology generally increases productivity, that productivity doesn't necessarily translate to real wages across the spectrum. And so I think it, you know, can further enhance wealth inequality. And so I think Silicon Valley has in particular contributed a lot to the concentration of wealth in this country, one of the greatest issues that I think our country faces.
So Chicago is no stranger to innovation. Over a century of ventures, I mean, two centuries, depending on how you think about it, where ventures were launched, things are still thriving here from, you know, decades ago. How do you think about that innovative history and also the culture in the city and how that factors into the innovation that's happening here with tech startups and startups in general right now?
One of the great things about Chicago is not only the low cost of living relative to other giant cities, the culture that's around, the things that you can do, but also the chill feeling. When people discover things, when people have great ideas, it's usually because they were doing some sort of exploratory thing for fun. You know, you need free time to be able to spend your free time thinking about things creatively. You're not going to discover something amazing if you're busy and pressured all the time. So I think that probably plays an important part in it, that just like we're a city, but we're chill and people know how to have a good time and take it easy. And that allows people to have time to be creative and have great ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as, you know, software relates to tech and software can be sold anywhere from anywhere. You know, Chicago's location in the center of this great country, I think, does shape the startup scene. We are a bridge between the West Coast and the East Coast. And the Midwest of the three has maybe the least developed and fastest growing maybe startup scene. And I think it continues the long tradition of, honestly, agricultural innovation in the state of Illinois, financial innovation in, you know, sort of a la the stock exchange and the CBOE out of downtown Chicago. And, you know, we are sort of the heart of the country and the heart of the Midwest, certainly. And I think that factors into the startups that thrive here. Hmm. A lot has to do with location.
Griffin Cox and Aide Marino are the co-founders of EasyBot AI. Aide, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Griffin, thank you.
Thanks. This was fun.
And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.